The following presentation is brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about Rita or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy this presentation of A New Approach to America's Destiny, Part 1, by Dane Rudyard, a prophetic pre-Watergate discussion of America's prospects. This recording is 44 minutes long.
Topic tonight is quite interesting if you are interested in the American people, and if also you have a little notion about the chart which have been given for the beginning of the so-called United States. There is, as you may know, some of you may know if you have been connected with astrology for some time, there are many charts which have been given for the beginning of the United States. It is customary to have chart erected for the beginning of anything, the beginning of a life, the beginning of a nation, the beginning of a reign, of a king in ancient times. Astrology is the art of beginning. It deals with the moment in which an independent existence is formed with a definite structure. And the chart expresses the basic structure, what I might call the seed structure of that entity. Just like the acorn expresses or rather contains potential within itself, the structure of the full-grown oak. So that what you have in a chart is a symbol of the basic potential of the life which is beginning at the time the chart is made. At first it is of course all potentiality, and the task of a human being is to actualize what is potential in the chart. Now there are a number of ideas as to how to apply astrology, and the type of astrology which I have promoted for many years is very different, as some of you probably realize, from the typical kind of astrology which deal with event, fortune telling, and all sort of thing of very external nature. What I call humanistic astrology deals essentially with the human person as a person, and what is potential in that person, and how best that person can fulfill its potentiality. From my point of view, there is nothing really wrong in a chart. Everything is good. Everything represents what ought to be actualized, and the way to actualize it best, which of course is not the approach which the ordinary astrologer takes. So I am saying that at the outset so that you are not confused and understand what I am about. Now when you deal with a nation, you are dealing of course with a collective person, with a collective type of person, character, basic collective character. And the question is that most of the charts which have been given as representative of the American people, the American nation, are given to the time of the Declaration of Independence, the time when the Declaration was signed. It was not, I mean not sighing, I mean voted upon. It was not signed on July 4, 1776. And there was also a vote taken on the question of becoming an independent state nation on July the 2nd, 1776. But it was on the July 4th that the declaration, as it was essentially written by Jefferson and modified afterwards in long discussions, was adopted. And then it was printed and it was announced and the bell rang and so on the next day. Now there have been all sorts of questions as to the exact time of the vote being taken on the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. And the time which I have taken and some other astrologers, but the great minority of astrologers have taken, is very different from the one which has been popularly accepted for some mysterious reason which I have never been able to fathom. The chart which has the sign Gemini rising on July 4th being a chart for 2 a.m. in the morning. And as far as I know, there is absolutely no evidence that that was the time at which it was taken. And it seems very strange that it should have lasted so long and so on. Also strange is that there are definite records that the printer who printed the chart, what they call the broadside of the declaration, is said to have worked all night after the declaration was signed. And if it was signed only at 2 a.m., it is rather and then that it was published and announced and publicly read on the 5th. So if it had been at 2 a.m., it's strange that it would work all night and it had to take the whole day and still another night in order to get printed. Whereas the chart being voted upon, I mean the declaration being voted upon at 5 a.m. or around 5 a.m., and you have the exact time in the sheet that you have there, seems very logical. Because there are data which refer to the beginning of the evening, and apparently in those days, evening started after work ended around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyway, that's a long story, and there is lots of argumentation. The main point is that, to my mind, the chart that I have given you and presented is the one that is the most significant for the American people and the character of the American people as at large. Now, of course, it is not, and it couldn't be the chart of the United States as a government, or even exactly as a nation, because there was no nation on July 4th. The war was still very uncertain of independence, and it could have very well been an aborted birth. So that in a way, and there was no government, there was no constitution, and there was no executive. So that, as I see it, in the chart that you have here, and any chart for July 4th, 1776, could not be the chart for the United States government, or even as a definitely concrete nation. But it is rather a chart which refers to the assertion of selfhood, the demonstration, the proclamation to the rest of the world that the American colony were now established as an independent unit, and that a people had arisen with definite characteristics. You can compare it to the birth cry of the child, which is the proclamation to the world that he can breathe, and that the first breath having taken place, the whole process of his physical organism have started in a relatively independent manner. Whereas before they were completely enfolded within the womb and therefore completely dependent on an external enfolding and binding envelope, as it were. Now, the reason why I think it is interesting to discuss this chart, I had a discussion of it in Seattle last week, and I have written many articles about it during the last 40 or 50 years, is that particularly because I think the generally used chart with the sign Gemini rising does not really describe the American temperament or American people as an archetype, and that therefore it tends to create a confusion of value in what I think is the most characteristic features of the people at large, and therefore of the potentiality of development, and if you want to call it that way, of the destiny of the people. When I speak of destiny, I am not speaking of fate or any compulsion, I am of event, I am speaking of the process through which what is potential at birth can become actualized. If you fulfill your destiny, that means that you are actualizing, manifesting what was potential at your birth, that which you are born for, the position and the place that you had to fulfill in the universe by at the time of your birth, by the fact that you were born at a certain time and at a certain place on the surface of the earth. And the chart establishes your relationship to the universe, yes. And therefore the place and function which you can and should play in the universe, which mean, of course, for us mostly on the earth and humanity as a whole. And it is the place and function which is your purpose, which the thing for which you are born in some way. Now, especially when you deal with a collective entity like a people, there is much less freedom in a sense, there is much less capacity to change the process by going strange ways. And so in a way you get a closer approximation between perhaps the events and the things that you find written in the chart. And so you will find, if we have time to do it, and if I were sure that you knew enough about astrology to follow in great detail, how the transit progressions of that chart fit quite remarkably with some of the basic events and turning points in the development of the United States, American people. The interesting thing to me is that I decided to use that chart, which had been used approximately, not exactly the same time within a few minutes, but had been used by very few astrologers in the past, and which actually was started by an English astrologer by the name of Sibley, who recorded in a book on astrology written at the time what he called the proclamation of the American people of their existence as a nation. It is that chart which basically has the foundation for this thing. And I have rectified more precisely by certain things which I mentioned briefly. And the interesting thing to me is that since that time, I think the first time I wrote about it was in the early 30s, which is 40 years ago about, Since that time, a number of important events have taken place, which seems to me, at least, to prove the validity of the chart, in some cases rather astonishingly. Now, there are many points which I would like to discuss, but I don't know exactly how many of you are deeply versed in astrology. How many of you would be able to make any sense at all of the chart that you have, or perhaps I should say how many are not able to make any sense about the chart, or have only the very slightest things of astrology? Well, of course, nobody would want to show their hands. Yeah, well, that's right. Anyway. Well, I hope you're following me anyway, and you can ask a question, perhaps, if we have time afterwards. A chart, as you know, has 12 houses, and each house represents a certain definite type of experience, and the position of the planets in those houses stress the fact that the entity being born should, and in majority of case, does tend to focus his attention on that type of experience, because it is through that type of experience that he can best fulfill his potentiality. Now, one of the important things, of course, is the rising sign, which deal with the almost the uniqueness of the destiny, the point in the chart which is the most specific or the most individual, in the sense that it's the most individual characteristic of the person. It is that which it's the most difficult to ascertain, because it changes very rapidly from minute to minute. But just because it changes so rapidly, it means that it focuses, you might say, the state of the world on that person at that exact moment. And it's at the moment, exact moment of the first breath that which determines the degree of the zodiac, which is rising as the what we call the ascendant. Now, the ascendant in the chart which is mostly used is Gemini. And Gemini, of course, as most of you probably know, has certain characteristics which have much to do with the intellectual nature and so-called volatile temperament, and everybody thinks that it applies to the American people. But actually, if you can accept it from a person who was not born in the country but has been there for 56 years, this, to my mind, is certainly not at all the basic character of the American people. We are essentially founded upon a Puritan tradition, and if there is anything which is typical of American individuality, is the Sagittarian good fellowship, a sense of optimism and expansion, love of sports, love of traveling, and a very strong sense of religious tradition, which sometimes can become very fanatic, and as in many religious organizations in certain part of the United States. You have an example of that even in the youth with the so-called Jesus freaks and all that. So that you have a tendency toward the religious, the metaphysical, and in a popular sense, not the metaphysics of the European type, but the metaphysics of New Thought, Christian Science, and science of mind, and so on, which is typically Sagittarian. There is a great deal of, if you excuse me, of self-righteousness and American temperament. the desire to be loved and being very astonished if everybody doesn't like you, and what you find when you travel in foreign countries. And all those things are typical of a Sagittarian ascendant and have very little to do with the Gemini characteristic. There is, of course, certain intellectuality in the United States, but there is in any other countries. But it's certainly very different from the type of intellectuality in France, for instance, where the worship of logic and traditional thought and along intellectual line is certainly far stronger than in America. We have absorbed a great deal of that in the modern universities, but those universities are not American phenomena. They are really started and developed along English and mostly English models. So that is not, as I see it, a very typical characteristic. Even from a physical standpoint, the characteristic of Uncle Sam, if that may be something of a typical American physique, is certainly Sagittarian, with his long legs and long thighs. And anybody who has dealt with dancing, as I have, and modern dance, knows that the remarkable development of thighs and legs, and of course we see them very much nowadays, and which is again very different from the typical type that you find in Europe. And you see the parents born in Europe, and you see the child, and you see suddenly those legs, which of course may have to do with vitamin and God knows what, but nevertheless is typical of an American temperament and an American physique. So there is lots of things that could be said along that line. There are all sorts of things which have been said about the chart, which perhaps hardly need to express. In the chart for Gemini rising, Uranus is rising, and people have said, well, Uranus is so strong in the American temperament, the tendency to shame, transformation, restlessness, and so on, which is true. But there is a feature which, unfortunately, most astrologers don't pay any attention to, or very little, though now they're beginning to. And that is that what we call the nodes of the planet Uranus fall almost exactly in line with the horizon, the natal horizon of the chart, and which I find that whenever that happens in a chart, whether it is the ascendant or the horizon, or whether it is the meridian, which is the same part of the zodiac as the nodes of a planet, any planet, Uranus or Saturn or whatever it is. When that happens, the character of that planet, or the type of function which that planet represents and symbolizes, becomes almost a compulsion. That is to say, you are, as it were, a creature of that planet. You are an agent of the type of activity and function which it represents. It is something which is not almost beyond your will. I mean, it is a very essential thing of your temperament. You are born to do that. You are born to, if it is a Uranian thing, you are born to transform. If it is on the node of Saturn, you are born to be more or less a conservative and limit and depend on tradition and so on. This is a very interesting point, and therefore I think it is exactly the situation which we find in the United States. But besides, if Uranus is the period of the planet of transformation and revolution, metamorphosis, and so on, where best could it be, I believe, in the chart of the United States, except in the sixth house, which deals with labor? with labor, with technique, technology, service, armed force in a way, and especially anything that deals with the relation of employer and employee and so on. And it is in that area of the sixth house that the American people have produced the most startling changes, which have really changed the world. That modern technology, of course, is not entirely born in America, but it certainly was generalized and applied in the most spectacular way here. And so much of it was born here, like the assembly line of Ford started all that, and started all that mass production. And it is there that the great labor union were formed, and so on and so forth. It is also there that there is all that started that great movement on health food and change of health, things like osteopathy, chiropractic, Christian science, spiritual healing of things. All those things which deal with health have also started in the last century in the United States and nowhere else. So that to have Uranus there in that sixth house is about as good a place as you can possibly have for that planet, considering the condition of the American people. And then, of course, if you have the chart with Sagittarius rising, it means that you have a group of planets which you can find in the chart there, Venus, Jupiter, the Sun, and Mars, before in Gemini, all in the seventh house. And of course it put a great deal of stress in the seventh house. But again, where else could it be more logical for a nation which has stressed more than any other collectivity ever on earth the problem and practice of relationships, of contract making, installment plans, credit, trust of partners in the sense of credit and bank and all those things like that, which are the result and the expression of human relationship and partnership. And the seventh house is, of course, the house of partnership, of marriage, but also of divorce. And of course, we have more divorce here than any other place in the world, probably, or at least we have so far. So that there again, the placing is very good. And in the chart with Gemini rising, on the contrary, there is no planet in the seventh house. And when you have planet in a house, it means essentially that in that realm of experience, your attention is constantly being focused in that realm. So that you are drawn into it, you develop it, you grow through the experience which are related to that realm of life. And that's certainly true, I think, of the American people who has grown up, has developed through the tremendous complexification and multiplication of human relationships and partnerships and trade and contracts, lawyers, so, and all those things like that which refer to the seventh house. So, well, there is another criticism, for instance, which people say to my chart, and said, well, when Uranus, each time that the United States had a war, Uranus was moving through the Gemini, and therefore that shows that Gemini rising is natural, because that's a great change, a great upset from there. The only trouble about that argument is that it doesn't make any sense, because the house of war is the seventh house and not the first house. So that if it is when Uranus moves into the seventh house that you find a war is a normal thing, situation, you see. But this point shows how very little care people have to think things out through and get so impressed by tradition, even if there is no much reason for the tradition. There is also an idea that America never lost a war, and supposedly if you had marched in the seventh house, that would mean something bad for waging war. This is an idea which I have never been able to understand, because it's just exactly, to my mind, the opposite. Or it's not the opposite, but it has nothing to do with whether you lose or win wars. The fact the march in the seventh house means a certain aggressiveness in terms of human relationship. Now, the American nation may not have been aggressive in a political sense, at least not as much as many other nations, but it has certainly been more aggressive, or as aggressive, in business, and in trade, and in economics, and all that, that any other country has. And after all, this is the modern way of waging war, is to sell washing machine and TV and everything which spread the influence of the technology of the character of the American people, so that the world is thoroughly being Americanized during the last 20, 30, 40 years, which is certainly a very befitting thing for it. People who also, as they meet foreigners very often, are somewhat aggressive, and therefore find it strange not to be always terribly liked in some foreign country. I mean, those are many points which I could go on and stress there, but there are still more things. Now, I might mention, for people who are particularly interested in astrology, why this particular moment of 5, 9, 13 or 14 of July 4th. Well, one of the reasons in which at first led me to consider that particular degree, the third degree of Libra on the midheaven, Zenith above, is that there is an interesting relationship between that midheaven point, which is the refer in a certain sense to public life, to the public ideal, the public goal, public achievement, the structure of public life, and of course in terms of business, the executive, and so on. There is a relationship between the midheaven and Saturn, which is exactly the number of degrees which correspond to the number of years between the Declaration of Independence and the promulgation of the Constitution, and a few weeks later, inauguration of Washington as the first president. Now this, to me, is a very interesting thing, because, as I said, this is not the chart. The chart you have there is not the chart of the government, but it is the chart of a people, the chart of a potential of entity, the potential of a collective entity which we come to call America, even much more than the United States. Most people mind is that the American people, you are not the United States-ish mind, you see. So what you have there, you see, at that moment of the proclamation of the thing, you have the ideal stated, you have the purpose stated, the Declaration of Independence, the Declaration of Purpose in some way. But it took a number of years before that ideal, you might say, could become concretely realized in a constitution and in a government, which then established the American colony as a definite form national structure. And that was, of course, the time on which the Constitution was adopted and Washington became the first president. There is a few minutes difference whether you take the promulgation of the Constitution in March or the inauguration of Washington, but from other factors, I found that it seems more accurate to have the time of the Constitution, which after all is the essential thing, because the election or the nomination of a president was still part of the constitution. Another thing is, which I think is very significant, is that, and which I think we should appreciate very much, particularly perhaps this year after the elections, there is a very definite tendency in the American people to have a paternalistic approach to the president. It is the great father in Washington, the American Indian, even said, but there is no country in the world in which the president and has the same kind of, well, really, in a sense, father image as you have in America. And just as today there is a great personal relationship between children and the parents, a type of personal intimate relationship at first, at least when they are, before they rebel, but when they rebel it's still an intimate relationship, only in reverse, you see. But that relationship is very strong, and Saturn, of course, is the image of the father, but it is also the image of the structure, a form, an abstraction. And of course, there is no country in the world in which the constitution is worshipped and so hard to change as in America. One of the mold of the American tradition, Thomas Paine, had a beautiful sentence, one saying, in America the law is king, and the constitution, of course, is the law of the state, and everybody worships it, the more so, the more they disobey it. But it is very interesting that this is a situation which is so typically American, and here again, the place of Saturn in the 10th house fits very well. So there are a number of things like that. And then after these things happened, after I had that chart there and so on, all sorts of things, very interesting things happen, which seems to further justify the exact degree of it. Because the progress Mars, I don't know if all of you know what a progress Mars means, but if we progress the planet at birth, Mars, towards the position that it had in 1945, you will find that that progress Mars comes exactly to the mid-heaven at the time when F.D. Roosevelt died, which was an extraordinary shock to the nation. Those of you who have not been there at the time can hardly realize how much of a shock it was, though many people knew that he was very ill. And also it was immediately followed by the use of the atom bomb. And there again you have things, Mars, the military, the army, the aggressiveness and all that power, that new release of power, which made of the United States the most powerful nation at that time anyway. All that fits very well with the progression of Mars to the mid-heaven. Now, another interesting thing is that on November 4, 1968, the transiting Uranus was exactly at that point. And a day later, Nixon was elected president. This is a very interesting thing, you see, because what happened in 65, 66 was that there was a conjunction of Uranus and Pluto in Virgo. And it was interesting because it dealt with that great deal of change and revolt that took place at that time, especially in the youth, especially in California and in Berkeley and so on, and spread throughout the whole world. And it was a very interesting period. That was the great days of LSDs and the first hippies and all that. Now, this introduced a very interesting change. And it was also, of course, the time when the Vietnam War became more and more escalated. Well, since that time, Uranus has moved ahead of Pluto and introduced certain change which had something to do with that situation that had developed at that time or around that time. Now, the fact that Uranus moved there in 68 was interesting because, of course, Nixon had a plan to end the war. It must have been a remarkable plan. And many things happened at that time which almost changed the direction, but introduced the possibility of change. Now, what kind of changes, of course, are not told by Uranus? It may be there are very authoritarian type of person who had Uranus rising. Uranus, in a certain sense, can be a very authoritarian figure. Anyway, it was when Uranus was moving over the midheaven, which represents the executive and the public life of the United States, that President Nixon was elected. Now Pluto has reached that point, and I think there is a very typical statement that can be made, and that is that what Uranus starts, Pluto completes and make more definite, make more final, and possibly make more ruthless in some cases. But at any rate, it takes away all the surface glamour which might have been associated with Uranus and especially Pluto, Neptune after all. And Pluto brings the situation to a point where anything which is not exactly the purpose of that situation and the character of it is washed out. Pluto, in a sense, has as a keynote the word purity, in the sense that it is the purity of the water, which is only H2O, in which there is no sediment, no chemical or dirt of any kind. Now, a person who is pure is a person who is strictly the thing that he is. Now, you probably know how in totalitarian regime there have been all those purgations, you know, those purges. Well, a purge is to try to remove from an organism the things which are impure in that organism. So when you have a Plutonian type of organization, it tends constantly to purge the organization from anything which might not fit into the basic pattern of the organization. So in that sense, Pluto has much to do with totalitarian organizations, because, or even gangs in a certain sense, because anything which doesn't fit into the very rigid and almost ruthless, in the sense that it goes to the very root of the question, type of organization is usually tends to be purged away by one way or another. You know, some of you may not know, but you know, one of the typical things that Mussolini, which was the creator of Italian fascists, did when he tried to get in control and tried to take the control of the Congress of the Italy, was whenever his opponent were going to make a very crucial speech which would decide of the voting on a certain measure, some of his black shirts would come into the house, invade the house, and give to that man who was going to speak the next door, the leader of the opposition, to force him to swallow a quart of castor oil. With the result, of course, that the poor man was not able to talk, was not able to appear to the Congress the next day. Well, that was the purgation, you see. And it is quite typical of Pluto in that sense, you see.
This is the end of A New Approach to America's Destiny, Part 1, by Dane Rudyard. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudyard Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard at www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com.